attempt to complete text 3 today. Yesterday, in the starting of text 3, we heard about the principle that there are different ways that one can develop his Krishna consciousness. And these ways are called Krishna Anusilanam, which means the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So there's a direct way and there are indirect ways of cultivating Krishna consciousness. And the direct way springs from association with devotees. And the essence of the cultivation that will come from association with devotees is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, etc. That one engages in the direct practices of devotional service. And this is all done under the guidance of one's spiritual masters. Knowing the value of devotional service, Prabhupada begins to explain in the purport that one should have utsahan or enthusiasm in prosecuting his devotional service. Then Prabhupada explained, if you remember, that enthusiasm can be used in Krishna's service to engage more or less everything in Krishna's service, because everything is Krishna's energy, and the energy, the Shakti, should be engaged in the service of Shaktiman, the source or possessor of the Shakti. And in executing enthusiastically devotional service, to balance that, one must have patience. And as we'll find out, one also should have confidence. Now, what's the word for confidence? Nishchayad. And patience? Darya. These words, if we can keep them in the foreground of our memory, be able to call on them when we need them, and trying to understand how to prosecute our own devotional service properly, and will help us in our preaching. So, on page 33, we'll begin to see. Now, this part explains tap-tap karma pravartana, and later on sangha tyaga sutovate. So in other words, the way Prabhupada is proceeding in the purport, first he's explaining how Krishna consciousness is a cultivation activity, and then it should be done enthusiastically. The activity should be done enthusiastically, with confidence, with patience. Those are the first three. Then tat-tat karma pravartana, accepting those activities that develop, or those rules and regulations that develop one's Krishna consciousness. And then sangha tyaga satovrite. That will also be explained one after another. So first, tat-tat karma pravartana. Prabhupada explains that we should not be idle, but we should be very enthusiastic about executing the regulative principles. That's tat-tat karma pravartana. Neglect of the regulative principles will destroy devotional service. No one should think that they are so advanced that they don't have to follow the rules and regulations anymore. This thinking is maya. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it's explained clearly that if one is sakam, or has material desires, the way to purify those desires by cultivating detachment and knowledge, one follows the regulations, follows the authority of Shastra, of the Vedas. And then, after becoming purified, after following, just by the process of engaging in these activities under the authority of the Shastra, then one gets knowledge and one gets detached. But it is not that when one gets knowledge and detachment, one stops following the rules and regulations. But rather, his reason for following them becomes different. Instead of following them to gain something, one follows the rules and regulations to set a good example for others. And Prabhupada, the verses explain that if one renounces his prescribed duties without being purified by knowledge, the result will be worse. Much worse. And practically speaking, the hippies of the 60s appeared miraculously because they renounced prescribed duties but without knowledge. And what did they end up doing? Just in engaging in the lowest of tamasic activities. So, therefore, to set the good example for those who don't yet have knowledge, one should still follow the rules and regulations. And this is the basic message of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada, with knowledge or without knowledge, one should follow the rules and regulations. Or before one has knowledge and even after one has knowledge. And what of are those? Prabhupada explains, tat-tat karma pavartana, that one should follow them. And that is called vaidhi bhakti or sadhana bhakti. Sadhana means practice. Sadhya means the goal. So by practice, the goal is achieved of Krishna consciousness. So again, here Abhideya Tattva is being explained, or the practices that bring about our Krishna consciousness. In chapter 22 of Madhya Lila, in the teachings to Sanatana Goswami, the actual definition of sadhana bhakti is described. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya, which is to be executed by the senses. Bhavet, should be. Sadhya bhava, by which love of Godhead is acquired. Sadhana bhida, that called sadhana bhakti or devotional service and practice. Nitya siddhasra bhavasya, which is eternally present of love of God. Prakritam riddhis sadhyata, the awakening in the heart from potentiality. So this means, or the translation, when transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion jiva vegam manasa krodha vegam, because they do not satisfy us, then comes krodha. Kama esha krodha esha, because when the desires must not be satisfied, they cannot be satisfied on the material platform, therefore anger comes. Anger at the people who made the promises, and anger at ourselves due to frustration. So therefore the advice of Mahaprabhu is bala na paibe ara bala na paibe. Do not dress luxuriously and do not eat delicious foodstuffs. Do not increase the pride, one's pride and one's motive passion. Rather, trinada bisami chena turoda bisis amani na manalena kirtaniya sadahari. Continues. Those who suffer from the diseases of the stomach must be unable to control the urges of the belly, at least according to this analysis. When we desire to eat more than necessary, we automatically create many inconveniences in life. However, especially in Vrindavan, we immediately experience the reaction to these things. And especially also as one gets older.
one's digestion, decreases in power as one ages, and as one's liver weakens, and one's stomach become malfunctions like that. But our desire born of the mind doesn't decrease. So our desire is the same, and yet our capacity to enjoy decreases. Our eyesight weakens as old age increases. Our hearing decreases. Our ability to control the mind decreases. And what we enjoyed in our youth is remembered again in old age. And frustration and cynicism descend upon that mind. Because the desires, the mind is not aged, and the desires are blossoming. And the capacity has completely dwindled. So the recommendation is to sometimes control the tongue, always, but also observe fasting days like Ekadasi and Dhammastami. That helps restrain the demands of the belly. So what is the recommendation? What was the recommendation for controlling the tongue? Is it heavy fasts? Not eating? Living on air and dry leaves? And with an occasional piece of dirt? No. What is more practical than that? What was it? Yes, and not eating biscuits at the wrong times. A half hour before lunch.
I didn't want to eat the sabji.
Oh, then it's alright. Okay. Now, so remember, this is in this sloka. In this sloka, in the purport to the sloka by Prabhupada, this is the second time he's going through these six. Vacho vegam. What's vacho vegam?
Speech.
What's the vegam part?
Urge.
The urge or pushing to speech. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam. What is manasa krodha vegam? Yeah. Jiva vegam. Put it back in. Roll it back in. Jiva vegam, urara upasta vegam.
Sama vegam.
Oh, no, wait a second. Sama vegam. So udara,
belly,
and upasta. Etan vegan. What is this? Etan vegan.
Nose.
These urges. Etan vegan. Yo, vishahita dhira. So these urges. Vishaheta means?
Tolerate.
One who can tolerate these is dhira, or sober. Savam means? All. Api imam.
Certainly.
Right? Or pritavim sashishya. Certainly all over the world he can take disciples. So this verse discusses controlling the senses, because we're going to hear about the vidhi and those things that are favorable and those things that are unfavorable for making progress in Krishna consciousness. These slokas progress linearly from the most basic to the most advanced. So now the most basic principles are being described. Because to begin Krishna consciousness, practicing bhajana kriya, one has to accept restrictions from his sense gratification, of his sense gratification. Next, page 12. Upasita, Udara Upasita. As far as the urges of the genitals are concerned, there are two, proper and improper, or legal or illicit sex. When a man is properly mature, he can marry according to the rules and regulations of the Shastra, and use his genitals for begetting nice children. That is legal and religious. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, that I am sex life, that sex life which is not against religious principles. So sex life which is not against religious principles means that one is properly married and one engages in the procreative act just for the purpose of begetting children, not for to satisfy one's senses. Otherwise, he may adopt many artificial means to satisfy the demands of the genitals, and he may not use any restraint. When one is indulges in sex life, illicit sex life, defined by the Shastras, either by thinking, planning, talking about, or actually having sexual intercourse, or by satisfying the genitals by artificial means, he is caught in the clutches of Maya. These instructions apply not only to householders, but also to tyagis. Tyagi means one who is in the renounced order of life. So it is actually an incrimination on Kali Yuga where that has to be said, that the instructions not to engage in illicit sex apply also to tyagis, because the tyagis or renunciates, by definition, they are celibate, sannyasis, brahmacharis. They are by definition celibate. So to say that is even just showing how degraded that Kali Yuga has become, that that even has to be said. So why is it that sex life is so important to avoid? What does it do to the consciousness, to the body, that makes it so important to avoid sex life, and especially illicit sex life? But practically speaking, any sex life, what does it do?
In relation to the body.
Yes, it just fixes you. That pleasure, that gross bodily pleasure, is so intense that it rivets one to the bodily concept of life. And what does that mean? That he thinks himself the enjoyer. This pleasure becomes so fixed in the consciousness that one wants to enjoy himself. He becomes Purusha. His false ego is solidified as the Purusha, or the male, or the enjoyer. And thus, he's fixed or locked within the cage of the material world. Maya has so cleverly designed this material world that the bars are basically sex life, and the bars are so wonderful that everyone wants to stay within the wall, within the cage. How amazing it is. Imagine a cage or a prison where no one wants to leave. How effective that prison is. And that is the material world. And the chains that force us to want to stay is the sex life. So therefore, because it binds us to the material world, one can't adopt any form of renunciation or cleanliness or anything if one is engaging in illicit sex life. So therefore, Krishna consciousness and sex life, they do not go well together, especially illicit sex. And even when married, or when married, one has to, if one is not in the proper consciousness, it will cause great trouble. Great trouble. And that proper consciousness is, I'm not trying to enjoy. Jagarananda Pandit says in his Prema Vavarta, Vairagi bhai gramyakata na shunibe kane, gramya vartya na khaibe, kahibe yabe milibe ane. Swapne una korabhai stri sambasana Grihe stri chediya bhai asityat shavana.
How's your Bengali? Do you understand any Bengali? Can you understand some of this? Oh, vairagi bhai.
Oh.
Brahmi katha vena.
In your ears.
Kavi means don't talk about worldly things when you meet with others.
You won't get Brahmi vata.
Okay. Here's the English translation. My dear brother, you are a renounced order of life and should not listen to talk about ordinary worldly things, because someone in the renounced order of life, that means he's given up sex life. That means he's given up this pleasure for the highest pleasure. That means he has to be serious. Why undergo austerity unless one is serious about obtaining this highest thing? So why talk about worldly things and stir up the pool of material desires? Don't talk about worldly things when you meet with others. Do not think of women, even in dreams. You have accepted the renounced order of life with a vow that forbids you to associate with women. If you wish to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you must always remember the incident of Chota Haridas and how he was rejected by the Lord. Do not eat luxurious dishes or dress in fine garments, but always remain humble and serve their Lordship, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, in your heart of hearts. Any comments on this? Jagannanda Pandit's find instructions for those who are renounced and serious about making progress.
Tall order.
Tall order. But if you wish to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if one wishes to associate with Sisi Radha Vishnu Krishna Balaram Bornatai, then it's very difficult or impossible to associate. So what to do when we find that our mind isn't so pure and we have desires and we find we waste time and this and that? What to do?
You shoot in the morning 100 times and we sleep in the evening 100 times.
What does that mean?
You have to control the mind.
How to control the mind? A lot of hearing. It's so important to hear. Is it smoke disturbing? It's so important to hear again and again and again how the material world is not a good place and how the spiritual world is a good place. Because from that, we get enthusiasm and conviction. So hearing, seeing, we just look and look at all, not that we want to see people suffer, but it's a fact. People who are enveloped in the material world are suffering. And we not only can see, but most of us can remember the miseries of material life. And that should give us impetus to go forward. And hearing also should give us impetus to go forward, not just because we don't want matter, but because we want Krishna. And when we hear about Krishna, the desire to serve Krishna comes. In fact, devotional service motivated by the desire for liberation cannot bear fruit. Of the two, the desire for liberation and the desire for sense enjoyment, the desire for liberation is worse and harder to get rid of. This is explained in the Nectar of Devotion by Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
When it says the desire for liberation, does that mean like from personal liberation or what? Because
and to be free from anxiety and to merge with Brahman. One even has to give up his desire for peace, especially if he wants to be an ISKCON. It's incompatible. One gets the supreme peace when one is fully engrossed in Krishna, but lesser pieces he doesn't have any experience of, generally.
So you can see also in general, because Prabhupada said when we engage in spiritual life, it's like openly declaring war to Maya. How can there be peace in one sense?
Yeah, the war is going on. Because our business is to fight and preach. And also, without a movement, an institution, almost practically speaking, no one will survive. Because we can't be renounced Babaji's. We can't do it. And neither can the Babaji's who are trying to do it. Most of them can't be renounced Babaji's. Not all, but many. And it's for a different age, practically speaking. Therefore, Yukta Vairagya, Nirmanda Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Ushate, is more practical for this age. But it is also very dangerous. What does Yukta Vairagya mean? Using everything in the service of the Lord. So we need these things. We need our watches and we need our notebooks and pens. We are not that renounced. We need it. But we have to use everything in the service of the Lord. But we can't, if we take advantage of this principle and start getting things under the excuse of using them in the service of the Lord and using them for sense gratification, then by trying to cheat Krishna like that, we can be sure that Krishna as the best cheat will smash us. And we've seen it. Big, so-called big devotees who have tried to use material wealth to attract people, and but in their heart of hearts, instead of being the desire to serve Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, but the desire to enjoy is lurking there. So what is the result of this? Krishna lets it go on for some time and then smash, like a mosquito. So we have to be very wary. We are given license in the preaching movement for the computers, for the cameras, for this and that, tape recorders. We have been given license for that, to use in Krishna service. But if we become more attached to the computer and the tape recorder than to Krishna service, etc., like that, then we are cheating ourselves because we are selling our heart for this nonsense. So we have to be very wary of these things and not develop big attachments for anything other than Krishna. And we should try very hard to develop that attachment for Krishna. And how to do that? Hearing. Association. Now let's read the conclusion here and we'll discuss more. The conclusion is that, so here's the conclusion of the whole verse, is that one who can control these six items, speech, mind, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals, is to be called the Swami or Goswami. Swami means master, and Goswami means master of the go, or senses. When one accepts the renounced order of life, he automatically assumes the title of Swami. This does not mean he is the master of his family, community, or society. He must be master of his senses. Unless one is master of his senses, he should not be called Goswami, but Godasa, servant of his senses. Following the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, all Swamis and Goswamis should fully engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So on one hand, controlling the senses, and on the other hand, using the senses. Not abnegating the senses. And that is not the nature of controlling them, but again and again, The tongue should be used in the service of Krishna, eating prasadam. The voice should be used in the service of Krishna. And the mind should be used in the service of Krishna. And the belly and the genitals, if one is in that situation. And anger, all these things should be used in the service of Krishna. And in this way, they should be controlled. As opposed to this, the godasas engage in the service of the senses or in the service of the material world. They have no other engagement. Prahlad Maharaj has further described the godas as adantago, which refers to one whose senses are not controlled. An adantago cannot become a servant of Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30, Prahlad Maharaj has said, Matirna Krishna Paratakshvatova Mityo Vipadyeta Vihavatanam Andantigo Vya Vijatata Mizram Punaspurna Charvata Charvaranam. For those who have decided to continue their existence in this material world for the gratification of their senses, there is no chance of becoming Krishna conscious, not by personal endeavor, by instructions from others, or by joint conferences. And what is their fate? They are dragged by their unbridled senses unto the darkest region of ignorance. That's andanti gopir. By these uncontrolled, danta means controlled, adanta means uncontrolled gopir senses. Vishita to nisam, they are dragged to hell. And what happens there? They're madly engaged in what is called chewing the chew. Puna, punas, chavita chavaranam. So matirna krishne. Matir means inclination to Krishna. Never comes paratos fatova. It never comes by the discussion with others. Svato means by one's own determination. Nityo, meeting, joint conference. Vipadyeta, it never comes for one who has taken as his vrat, his vow, to be an enjoyer. So if one wants to enjoy himself, if he has this determination, I'm going to enjoy, he can't develop an actual an inclination to Krishna. So therefore the intelligence must become convinced, and the Bhagavad Gita is written on this platform, to convince the intelligence, to control the mind, to control the senses. So that the inclination to Krishna, by the positive, will develop. Okay. Now before we start discussion, just make sure that everyone understands what tomorrow's assignment is. We go on to the second verse, two sections A and B. You'll notice if you look at the last two sections, C and D, the titles of the sections are missing, so don't worry about that. But do A and B tomorrow. And then hopefully we'll finish that in 2 days. And three is another 2 days. Four is another 2 days. Five is another 2 days. Six is 1 day. Seven, 1 or 2 days. But I'd rather not rush myself. But I don't want to go too slow. But I don't want to always have the feeling we have to do more, hurry up, it's getting late, we're getting in. Okay, any discussions or questions about the first verse? Or comment? Just comments, things you realize? Means that one has to be in a different situation where it's easier for him to control his senses or be in a So just like being a brahmachari, this is such a tricky point in one sense, that one, it has to be handled so carefully, because if a brahmachari has to be preached to remain a brahmachari, and he has to be strongly preached to about the difficulties of household life, and they are difficult, and the dangers of household life, and it is dangerous. But yet, if the brahmachari can't be a brahmachari, he has to be taught how to be a proper householder and become situated properly. But yet you can't preach to brahmacharis that if you're having trouble you should become a householder, because the material world and brahmachari in the age of Kali is so tough, then you end up with no brahmacharis. And it's selling people short, people who can actually make it. So it takes very delicate preaching takes knowing somebody very carefully to be able to give the proper advice. But the general advice is that people should be situated properly according to their ability. But we try generally to be a little stricter with someone and try to push him in the direction of what will be easier for him. But if what's easier becomes harder,
yeah, you said that when going into a household life, you have to know that you're not going into this for enjoyment.
Oh, well, if you don't know, you'll find out soon. Because you won't
enjoy
it.
But actually, the tendency when you're looking around is that most householder life, most householder
householders.
Yeah, householders are more like into the enjoyment platform than.
Yeah, you can be a householder.
You know, they have their big cars, you know, like they've got their big ODs outside. And
they have their big what outside? ODs?
Yeah, Audi.
What's it? Audi? Oh, that kind of car.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's not enjoyment.
Like this is the trip, so.
That's okay, but we don't accept that that's enjoyment. Huh?
It's
unlimited anxiety. Huh?
The
mentality to want to enjoy is what brings Andante Govir Vishatar to Mizram, that drives us to hell. We're here in the Krishna consciousness movement because we've already accepted the fact that the path of enjoyment is not a path that brings enjoyment. Poverty more. We're here because we don't want material life. Because we know we're not our bodies. We've decided, or we should have decided with a firm, intelligent vow, that we want to be servants of Krishna. So sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together, just like lighting a fire and burning the fire or pouring water on it go ill together. Unless you want to extinguish the fire. So if someone wants to extinguish the fire of his Krishna consciousness, you just engage in sense gratification, then surely it will go out. I knew a young Indian man when I was in Hong Kong 15 years ago, and due to pushy preaching, we pushed this young Indian man to take up Krishna consciousness beyond his realization. So he was following the rules and beyond his desire. He was following the rules and he was chanting his rounds and he was so miserable because the desire is not what he wanted. He was just pushed and pushed into it. So he ended up praying to Krishna to cover him because his consciousness, he knew enough that he couldn't enjoy with that. And especially if you're following the four rules, what is the enjoyment for a materialist, practically speaking? So he actually prayed to Krishna to cover him. And Krishna reciprocated by covering him. So the desire is the key. to our advancement. So this desire is to be taken care of. What our desires are have to be taken care of so carefully. Therefore, jana sangas in the next verse is said to be a hindrance, associating with materialists, because we'll catch that disease and our desires will increase for material things. So if you associate with people who have odis, and naturally one gets a little envious of them, think, boy, because everyone, they're driving around with their Audi and their fine tape deck in there and their fancy clothes on and their wife, and trying to make believe that they're enjoying, because they're not enjoying, but they want everyone to think that they're enjoying, so I have to walk around like this. I remember when I was in Los Angeles one time visiting, there was one devotee man, so-called devotee man, who was probably a devotee somewhere in his heart, but he was driving around in a Mercedes. He had become wealthy. He was going like this, and I saw him walking to his car, sit down, you know. It was so obvious to me that, you know, this man is very pretentious. You know, he's trying to impress. And then he started backing up, and he ground the gears. He went, and you know, because that's not supposed to happen when you're cool and you have it all together and you're really enjoying. And because, see, everyone is trying to convince everyone else that they're enjoying, but actually no one is enjoying. Because everyone is envious of others, and everyone wants others to be envious of him. Think that he's wonderful. I am the one who has succeeded.
Was that the $5 million man?
Huh?
Was that the $5 million man?
The five. Los Angeles? I don't know the $5 million man from Los Angeles.
No.
Wait a second. Wait a second. This is something else for sure. So it is difficult. It's a tall order and everything. But what to do? We have to hear. And if we recognize that we're not fulfilling the order perfectly, then we should at least be a little humble. At least if we can pull some humility out of that realization, we'll be taking a good step forward. But generally what we tend to do is, rather than thinking I'm not on that platform really, we tend to see how everyone else is not on that platform. Well, he's not doing that, and he look at his attachments, and look at his computer, and he's got this, and he's got that, and look at that, and blah, 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 blah. And instead of becoming humble, we become envious and proud, which leads us further down instead of carries us up. So we try to heal ourselves, and not when we read these things, try to apply it to ourselves rather than thinking that Krishna or Prabhupada is talking about others. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam study method, that was one of the points that we made, is that try to see how everything can be practically applied to my life. And what does this mean for me? Any other points or questions? Okay, so tomorrow we'll meet again at this time. And then... And also tomorrow we'll have our writing class. I read everyone's pieces.
Well, one thing that I've learned about, at least theoretically, that in Vrindavan, try to do as much service to the devotees as possible. Never, and really avoid the consciousness that I'm the master and the Lord. As soon as one gets the consciousness that he's the Lord and Master of Vrindavan, he will be kicked out because there is already someone occupying the position. Sometimes we say that living in any place where Radha Krishna is loved and proper worship is the same as living in Vrindavan. But still there's a difference, because Prabhupada recommended all his disciples to come to visit Vrindavan even though Radha Krishna was inspired in so many temples. This is the one difference simultaneously.
Is Vrindavan the same as all the temples around the world, or is it different, or is it with Prabhupada? Although every temple is Vrindavan, the Prabhupada wanted us to come here to. So how is Vrindavan the same as the other temples, or how is it different?
By coming here, we can taste the eternal Vrindavan atmosphere in the temples around the world. We can also taste that atmosphere. We can see Krishna and Radha running together. Krishna playing his flute. We see the Vrindavan scene, the backdrop or the flowers and everything reminds us of Vrindavan. And as there is Krishna with Radharani in Vrindavan, it means also all his other associates are there. Krishna's Leela is going on. So it is Vrindavan. But in one sense, as we say, it's like a temporary manifestation of Vrindavan. The street address of a particular temple some years back was maybe a store or a house or something. Then it became Vrindavan, Krishna Mukunda and his devotees. In the future, perhaps something will happen. It will become a field or a house or a store again. Krishna either moves to another location. So the spirituality of a place will then again diminish. But the spirituality of this place is permanent. Krishna has, let's say, manifested within the